This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit GoldenOakLending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome in on a Tuesday, a couple minutes early, because we got a lot of stuff to do. We will go live to Steve Iserman. I'm actually in the world headquarters right now. We will carry the Iser address. And then whatever he has to say, we'll unpack it. We'll talk about it. If the hockey elite needs the Matterhorn or the bat signal, it is available. And then we will get to Brad Holmes, because I was on the phone with Cookies probably an hour ago. I told him, I thought he did a great job. And I thought Jim did a better job than I would do. I would have lost my temper, because I thought that was one of the most arrogant, patronizing. That was unreal. And I thought Cookies and John were gentlemen about it. You just let Brad do his thing. But wow, oh, wow. Yeah. That was something. But see, I don't get upset anymore by it. I laugh at it. But Big Dog over here, he's got a big problem. So we're going to get into that at 3. And I got to know where to sign up for the book club. So look. We got a jam-packed show, and that's before we even get to the Pistons, the Tigers, Bill Belichick in this hostage situation. I mean, his relationship. So much to do. So much stuff. What are we getting out of Iserman? Let's go around the room real quick. But we start with our hockey elite, Kenny T. Cott.
We're not going to get anything. No. We're going to get almost nothing. Very little in this press conference. You wouldn't believe how little we're going to get here.
But you know what? He's going to dress very nicely. Very nicely.
Oh, my goodness. What are we getting from Iserman? I'm being serious.
We're not going to get much. I mean, Steve Iserman is really, really good at saying nothing for long periods of time when he speaks. It's almost like he's filibustering a question when he answers it. I don't think we get anything from
one question. If you were allowed to ask a question, what would it be?
I would be, how accelerated is this process during the offseason going to be in terms of the rebuild, in terms of trying to make the playoffs? What's the urgency level of that?
I can answer that. We have a plan, and, you know, we don't know when the plan will take root, but we have a plan in place.
I think the thing that bugs me, and look, I think I'll carry the same opinion through with Iserman, with Brad Holmes, with any executive in sports. I don't feel that I always laugh because, again, it's like this job. You're not a cardiologist, all right? You're not a detective solving sex trafficking crimes. You're not renegotiating geopolitics, all right? None of this is really that important. I mean, the reality is team executives play fantasy football with other people's money. They're flesh peddlers, okay? And we're the idiots who talk about it. None of any of this is serious. Our job's to entertain you, hopefully 11 minutes a week. Their job's to provide a product good enough to get money out of your pocket. This isn't that serious. So I always laugh when these executives cease to be human beings about stuff. It's goofy. Yeah. Like, I'm serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, they're, you know, it's the secret to the 11 herbs and spices. You can't know what I know because I know.
What's the 11? What company is that?
KFC.
That's KFC?
Yeah.
And then what, Dr. Pepper's the 26 flavors?
Yes.
I got it. Okay. I wasn't being smart.
23 flavors.
Is it 23?
Yeah.
Tastes like 26. A lot of flavors. Oh, no, we're done. We're good. If you're just joining, I want you to understand the reason Kenny's POTUS imitation has made the air is this is the only way he's talking off air. It bled into Kenny and Evan on a podcast.
It blends into real life, and it's very difficult to stop.
It's fantastic. I love it. I think it's fun. All right. So look, we'll go down there live. Hockey Elite's going to follow. We'll get into the Brad Holmes stuff. We have audio. Great interview if you want to hear it in its entirety, because Brad was politely verbose. Odyssey.com Rewind. Give the morning show some love. You can listen to the whole damn thing. We're going to give you the best, including Brad Holmes does not understand why he's asked about pass rushers. Just say you understand it. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, I understand.
Do us all a favor.
We didn't work out that way, but I like the people we got.
You can do it a million ways. As Rico put this, full credit to Rico, who's not in a Caribbean green shirt today. It is just black.
I figured I'd keep it simple for you.
I don't know. Does Crayola have a fancy name for the black crayon? We'll find it. The point is.
African-American.
No. No, just none of this. No. What are we doing? But we can get into it because you put it best. That's supposed to be a very easy interview with the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
Two polite guys.
Yeah.
And Brad cracked a beer bottle and started waving it around the room. And you're like, okay, you're a little triggered over this.
He turned a softball into a grenade. I don't know how he did that.
A lot of violence. All right. So look, Iserman. We're going to carry it. How long we stay with this really depends on the content of the press conference. For me personally, I'm just hopeful. I'm not trying to set unfair expectation, nor am I asking anyone to do anything rude. But asking Steve about, do you believe you should be fighting for your job this year? That's a legitimate question. Do you believe you have to make the playoffs or else? You know, what are you going to do between now and opening night to advance this? You know, ask about, again, Dylan Larkin threw shade at you.
Yeah, pretty much saying the locker room was, you know, disappointed when they didn't go all in at the trade deadline.
I wonder if the Larkin thing is going to be addressed. I wonder if anybody's going to ask about that.
How are you in that room if you don't?
If you're in that room and you have a media credential of any sort, you have to ask, hey, you're a captain. The captain that you picked for this hockey team, the captain of the last several years, basically threw shade at you.
What's your response to that?
Am I wrong in thinking that's like the first thing he gets asked?
It should be one of the first couple.
That's not gotcha media or anything. No. It's like, look, you haven't addressed this. Your captain spoke. Have you spoken to Dylan? What was your reaction to it?
You use the term media loosely because a lot of people aren't media. They just go down there to say, hey, everything's going to be good next year, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to give the people in the room enough credit pre to say they're going to ask. If they don't ask, then Rico wins. I got nothing for you.
I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and gave this announcement of new something or nothing something next year.
All right, now listen. You're several lunches deep. You're approaching like owing the mob money here.
Oh, no, no, no,
Do
no,
you
no.
want...
Oh, no, I'm not that deep. You want to know why? It's a tournament, buddy.
What? Oh, I owe you two. You're down three, so you're down one.
No, I'm down... I lost one.
Do you want to go double yours or nothing? It will be asked in the Iser thing, or do we want to keep this lunch free?
We keep this lunch
free. A lot of lunches.
Yeah.
So many.
You owe me.
I love lunch. All right.
A lot of pizza, a lot of sandwiches.
Stop.
Maybe even some burgers.
Okay, please.
Some chicken wings.
So we're going to carry it live and get to it. Now, David, a quick question on the listener's behalf. How are we handling this if this starts late? We're just going to package breaks?
Yes, we will.
All right.
And I'm listening for it now. We'll see.
Are you hearing the murmur at the world headquarters?
I am hearing the murmur. I'm hearing a lot of laughing right now.
A lot of laughing.
Okay, stop.
Stop. He's in town today, ain't he?
Is he?
I think he is.
I'm always here, Rico. I'm always in town.
That's definitely not true. Do we have any early ticket texts leading up to the Iser plan deal? And again, the Brad Holmes thing is going to be hot later. I promise you, I'm not angry. I actually just laugh at it. It was really wild to hear that level of, man, he really think his duty don't stink. That's something. Yikes.
Kenny's great Trump impression. You're only about 8 years too late, Chris and Ohio.
No, I know. It's just, guys, you have to understand. I know he's not reinventing the wheel.
Right.
We are not taking any credit for doing something cutting edge. It was just, where did that come from?
I just like that Steve Eiserman's about to speak, and that's what people are texting about. We have, what questions would you like to hear Steve ask? What would you like to hear him respond to? And that's
But Kenny, you know this. I've tried to teach you this over the years. Radio is a reactionary game. WPRE, preview radio, that doesn't do it. It's reactionary. This is the town hall where we react to the things that happen, and that's how the game works. I don't expect hockey fans to be piling the phone lines and the ticket texts right now in advance of Steve speaking. I just don't. I think people are waiting, and when it's over, I'd like to think we could put the bat signal up for the hockey elite and have a real conversation.
Yeah, they always show up.
They do a good job with their sport.
I just don't think he'll say anything.
Eiserman Live, let's go to it. Okay, that was a grave error. I don't know. I feel so bad we carried that. What a complete and utter waste of time. So here's my takeaways from this Eiserman press engagement thus far. My takeaway is, until it is proven otherwise, like until you show me the sealed JFK files of his contract, he has a lifetime deal. He essentially, in not so many words, I'm just going to keep on trucking, keep on doing. Yeah. Just, I'm going to keep doing what I do, and we're going to keep drafting and, you know, stuff.
Things.
Don't care what you want, but we appreciate the fan support. Basically, keep spending your money. We appreciate that. And we're just going to keep doing what we do over here. And here's a few Joe bucks for you. I got nothing. I'll leave it to the hockey elite.
Yeah, because Tony asked a really good question about, you know, the pro personnel and, you know, free agency. And he just kind of went around and around and gave a 5-minute answer. And I really don't know what he said. But, hey.
The one thing he said that was interesting was
Montreal and St. Louis?
No, that was ridiculous. I thought the Dylan Larkin thing was interesting. I thought the pause about I need my best players to, you know, be my best player. Pause. I mean, look, clearly. The comment he made about, you know, Dylan Larkin. I mean, Kenny, do you want to step in on this? I'm trying to pull anything interesting.
So the three things that I took away from this, the interesting bit was that he did talk to Larkin, and I guess it sounds like they had a private conversation, which...
Yeah, and if he wants to share, he can.
Right, which will probably cause another private conversation if that happens. The other thing that he said, which I was actually encouraged by before he immediately went the opposite way, was he was asked, okay, if there's a big free agent, would you be willing to spend more than Dylan Larkin? Would you be able to spend $10+ million on a free agent? And that's a big signing for Steve. That's a big signing for anybody, really. And I know that Poverty League aside jokes. That was a big comment that he said, yeah, I absolutely would be willing to.
But don't you think it's the only way you can answer it?
Yes, but then he immediately went back and started talking bad about, like, free agents.
That's
or,
right.
You know, term, yada, yada. The same stuff he said for the last several
That's
years.
My point to you. No GM, no team president is going to get up there and go, no, we're not going to sign that type of player. That causes a furor. You can say, well, of course we would, even though you never intend on it.
And then he went back on it immediately after later on in the presser. And the third thing, Enrico brought it up, was the Montreal-St. Louis lame, nobody's making this argument. He did this straw man thing that he always does where he sets up an argument that nobody's arguing in the first place. And it just, I don't know, it aggravates me.
Montreal didn't make a trade. Yeah, Steve, they were also in the Stanley Cup final 3 years ago.
Correct.
So, like, can we just not do this? Can we just say, like, you haven't done anything at the deadline? Oh, we did make a trade, actually. Right. To pick up a 40-year-old painter and a dead goalie. Hockey Elite, this is yours. You react to it. Just tell me where you're at. I feel like it is just very simple. This man has a lifetime deal. He's not under any pressure. And he can keep doing what he's doing. And if you don't like it, too bad. Eventually, you'll like it. That's what I take out of it.
No, he didn't sound like a man that had any type of urgency, like his job was on the line and I got to get this right over the summer or else. No, I didn't get any of that.
I also didn't feel very inspired. Now, maybe he says something and turns into Maximus Aurelius here in the next 7 minutes and we'll clip the audio and play it to you. But we couldn't possibly stay with that any longer. Both for fear of having our entire audience walk away, but also for someone falling asleep at the wheel and crashing their car. 2485
Way to look out for the people, Mike.
248-539-9797. People, Hockey Elite Assemble. Your response to the almost 20 minutes of Iserman we gave you. We'll get some ticket texts, football today, get into the Brad Holmes interview that I thought the morning show did a great job with this morning on a very busy Tuesday. 97.1.
With all due respect.
Yeah, he dropped an all due respect in there. Let's say whatever I want, and then with all due respect.
I don't care what you think. And he shouldn't run the team based on what the headline writers or the talking heads have to say. But I thought Steve came out swinging yesterday. I thought there was a defiant tone the entire way. And defiant from a media standpoint, well, that's interesting. There's some juice there, right? Some little subtle shots at the players and the fact that they didn't perform. Defiant in that, you know, he's comfortable with what they did at the deadline. Comfortable with sticking to the plan. Defiant's interesting if you're in the media. But if you're a fan, sticking to the course and justifying everything you've done, miss me with that. I did not like the press conference yesterday if I'm a fan of this hockey team. And we'll roll out the red carpet and let you guys weigh in. But hearing stay the course is a really tough listen.
It is, because it's been such a long course. And it goes back to even before Iserman was here. But since he's been here and we bought into the Iser plan, what's the end goal? When is that goal supposed to be reached? Like, we all want to have, that's the importance of setting goals. And I know that, yes, he has this goal of reaching the playoffs and building a team that doesn't just get to the playoffs, but eventually competes year in, year out for a Stanley Cup. But you've got to do it in a timely fashion. And the fans have been very patient.
More than patient. Look, when he says the goal was to compete for the playoffs, and we did. Great. You met your own low bar. John, I hope we're one of the 50 best radio shows in the city. I mean, if you set the bar low enough, you can achieve the goal. You strive for more. And I wish I would have heard a general manager more urgently striving for more, not defiantly defending what he's done so far. That's what bothered me most.
Well, I think I said this last year. I said at the beginning of the season. It's, you just want to feel as a fan that the general manager or the franchise itself has the same sense of urgency that you do. And we're not talking about 6 years ago, but I think Red Wings fans understood it was going to take some time.
You listened to the press conference live on the station.
Yeah.
I was listening to the station too, and Mike Errico dumped out of it. And one of the first takeaways they had was, he sounds like a guy with a lifetime contract. I can't fight that allegation.
No.
He speaks like a man who has a lifetime contract. I don't like that as a concept. I think you should always be trying to justify the position you're in with results and not promises. Because this is a stretch now of consistent losing. And he said he is concerned about that and that becoming culture, but also said, well, this is what a rebuild is. And it's like, you know what, dude, with all due respect, we know what a rebuild should look like. We can watch rebuilds with every other team in the city, with the other teams in hockey. You're being lapped by teams in your own division. With all due respect, deliver results.
Yeah.
And you should be held to that. And I don't care that your last name's Iserman. Iserman, the player, has to be separated from Iserman, the general manager.
Yeah. When he threw out there, well, there were two other teams that didn't make moves at the trade deadline and they made the playoffs. Like, I think he was using that as, you know, a positive that, like, they could have or should have maybe stored on the players. And I think we actually have that.
Yeah.
Let's play that one.
Mixing the audio. I may even grant him that point, but I just, John, there's a reflex that I have when I hear him talk now where everything is a justification for how he's done this. Right. Well, I shouldn't have added and couldn't have added. And the players should have just made the playoffs on their own because I built such a good team and it's their fault for being lousy and not winning. Steve, maybe you didn't put the right mix.
Yeah.
Like when he was asked, Stoney asked him about pro scouting and he goes, well, you know, it's been a mixed bag. Some of the short term deals have been good. The inference there is the long term deals haven't been. says we're going to have to be choosier with some of these deals. Well, boy, I love hearing that with a bunch of cap space that you guys are going to be cautious in free agency was the inference there. And then he admitted that this pro scouting staff is like learning on the job. Steve, this isn't minor league hockey.
Yeah.
This isn't a minor league organization. This is the Detroit Red Wings. Let's not be figuring it out on the fly.
And it's a very passionate fan base. And so yesterday, I know a lot of people, because we had talked about it, we told everybody, hey, 2 o'clock, this is when it's going to happen. I know Doug and Gator did the same thing. Hey, 2 o'clock. Mike and Rico opened the show. In moments, we're going to have Steve Yzerman. When you heard Steve Yzerman talk, what type of emotions did you feel in that moment? How did you respond? And now, since you've had a night to sleep on it, how do you feel about what you heard yesterday from Steve Yzerman? I want to know from fans, what are you thinking this morning?
We'll get the phone calls in the mix. 248-539-9797. It was a very long press conference. There's a lot of things you could have latched onto that may stand out to you, that may have sent you into feeling a certain way. Maybe you were reassured. Yeah. Maybe you're reassured because, hey, Steve is sticking to his plan and the Yzer plan, and he knows what he's doing, and we trust Steve. Maybe you got encouragement. Maybe you're different than I am in that way. I felt like we're going to get more of the same old, that this plan is going to stay on its course with no additional urgency, and we'll get there when we get there, damn it, and hold it. You can use the bathroom when we arrive. It kind of had that tone. There was a defiant tone from Yzerman, and you make of that what you will. Let's get to John in Detroit. John, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Good. Yeah, I'm looking at my Yzerman signed jersey here. I love the guy. I've loved him for decades. But he is just like the organization. The Illiges, there's no urgency. Where's the Detroit district? Where are all the buildings that were supposed to be there? Where's the neighborhood they were supposed to build? And, you know, Steve's been there for decades as well. I know he left, he came back. But there needs to be more urgency with this hockey team. And they need to take these prospects, start playing them, and show something. Get in the playoffs. It's been too long. It's time to pull the trigger. Just is. And I love the guy. And I think he can do it, but a short leash right now.
Short leash for you, maybe short leash for me. I don't believe that is the belief of the man himself or the organization itself.
And I know the question wasn't asked, do you expect to make the playoffs?
I would have loved to hear the answer, but you know what the answer would have been.
Well, okay, but I'm not going to put words in his mouth. The question wasn't asked, so we don't know what the answer is
right
now.
We can tell you what he has previously said.
Yes, but we don't know what that answer would be right now. But, and timing is not great and maybe not the fault of Steve Yzerman in regards to it being the 100th year, 10 years next year since they've made the playoffs. If there's not a sense of urgency going into this season, then I don't believe that there ever will be. Like if you don't understand what it, and it's not that he doesn't understand. I guess I'm struggling to find the right words because I am frustrated as well as every fan is.
I think he is too.
I don't doubt that because he was a competitive player. Do anything to win, competitive player.
A play on a busted up knee, limp through the playoffs.
We're waiting for that sign of do anything to win from the current position that he's in. And we just haven't seen that.
We haven't, and that's the issue, is it needs to be acted on this summer in some way. I think Burchie asked him a question about, hey, seeing Ottawa and Montreal, teams that are maybe more on, have previously been put in your tier of...
Yeah, competitiveness.
Rebuilder, whatever you want to say. Seeing them make the playoffs, does that add... I'm going to butcher what Burchie said, but something, does this put more pressure on you? Does this put you in a position where you need to do more? And he said, there's something significant. And he said, yes, but it's easier said than done. So there's always the excuse built in that, well, we'll do the best we can, but you know, if we don't, then you'll just wait a couple more years. Like Kosa, probably not ready for this season. The Wallman explanation was no and no, nothing to see here. Pro scouts learning on the job. Players have more to give. Not that we misevaluated. They just didn't play to what we thought. What if you were wrong? Is that ever an option that you were wrong? No, it's the players haven't lived up to what I signed them to do. Translation, you were wrong.
Well, I think there was a kind of a backdoor admission that when he talked about the short term and the long term, like, you know, and the inference was that some of those long term deals didn't work out. Like, okay, clearly they were wrong on some of those players.
To the phones we go, Jeremy and Wayne. Jeremy, what did you take out of it?
So I am going to go to back to the Larkin comments about Yzerman. So I did not like how he said we needed to look for a new player and then not even thinking about the best player available is Dylan Cousins. Like, who is Yzerman going to get rid of for Dylan Cousins? He's not a game changer for the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
So hit Larkin going cold. He finally played 82 games. He went cold for 9 games, didn't even get a point. Yeah. If he was hurt, he shouldn't have played. He should have said he was hurt. He was just taking up a first-line roster spot. That's crazy.
You're right.
I just think Yzerman needs to get rid of his pro scouting department. Signing Justin Hall and Tarasenko was a horrible idea. I just don't think it's all Yzerman's fault when the last 3 years, they choked in March. 2 years in a row now, they were in a playoff spot. This year, they went on a 7-game win streak twice and then decided to go on an 8-game losing streak. So that's my thought on it. I think it's more of a captaincy and a leadership and then Yzerman.
More on Larkin than Steve.
Yes, that's more it for me. I think Yzerman's made some horrible moves, though. I'm not saying he's a saint. Yeah. But
well, I think there's blame to go around, I think is how I would put it. Like, I know I've defended Larkin in that I like that he was vocal about his concerns. I think we are reaching that point where, yes, the players need to have a voice and the captain of the team should be the one to deliver that voice, even if it's unpopular, even if he didn't play his best. But it doesn't let him off the hook because he has to play his best. And Yzerman didn't mince words. I mean, he said, Greg, do we have the cut where he talks about he's got to lift the morale? The players have to lift the morale. We might not have that specific cut, but he says like it's his, like these, he didn't say Larkin by name, but our highest paid players, our best players, it's their job to boost morale. In other words, don't look at me to save you. And I thought McClellan echoed that not only at the deadline, but yesterday. McClellan was shooting from the hip.
I love listening to Todd McClellan talk because it's no nonsense.
Yeah.
And he may filter a little bit, but it's straight to the point.
No, I mean,
no BS.
He was cussing up there and he's talking about leaving points on the table. And he said, this group, when it goes good, it's good. But at the first sign of trouble, they go in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it. He said this team was good enough to make the playoffs. Kind of echoing what Yzerman said, and they didn't. So the blame gets shifted back to the players.
Well, there's enough blame to go around on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what this team is going to be with a full offseason and a training camp with Todd McClellan. Because I do think that he is... You got to have toughness to be able to develop that toughness, and I'm curious as to where it's going to come from. But if anybody can find it and develop it, to me, I believe Tom McClellan will add that to this, to the identity of this team.
We got some open lines. I know Red Wing fans are already, you know, flooding the lines. We'll get to you guys. 248-539-9797. Texture says, not to sound hysterical, do you know who else was defiant after years of failure? Troy Weaver. Laz in Detroit. Leave Steve alone. You guys haven't read the whole book yet. Signed, Brad and Alan Park. It's going to be one of those days, huh? It's 97.1. I think Rieger, who never lets things go, also added, why not?
Yeah.
And the response was, because I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, because I don't want to. Okay, Dad.
Iserman did have a little of a defiant dad vibe, right? We're like, yeah. Hey, you eat your vegetables and we're going to get the vacation. We're not taking any more breaks.
Why?
Don't ask why.
Don't ask why.
Don't ask why. Just trust I'm doing this right.
Mm-hmm.
There was a defiance to him. And from a media standpoint, we can play a bunch of audio. There's little subplots, him and Larkin sparring back and forth. Defiant, though, has to translate. Right? Defiant has to translate. It has to turn to results sooner rather than later. I thought the entire tone of that press conference was a little bit of him on the defensive, being a little defiant, some probing questions from the media. I think pertinent, fair questions from the media. Rieger's question's fair. If he doesn't want to get into it, fine. He doesn't have to get into it, but no and no was the response given. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Steve in Royal Oak. Steve, you're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. For me, it's kind of where the disconnect is with Iserman. Since he's been here, the goal has either been to get better or to make the playoffs. And have we really done either one of those in a content basis, so to speak? In the bit about St. Louis and Montreal, well, they didn't do anything and they made the playoffs. Well, we also didn't have a captain on our team that went to Iserman and said, don't bust this up like they did in Montreal. Granted, their captain players might be a little bit better. And as a group, they hung together. Unfortunately, with Larkin, the last couple weeks of the season, at the end of each game during the presser, he looked like a deer in the headlights. So the disconnect, I think, between him, whether it's him and Iserman or whatever it is, I mean, plus the fact that we just don't have the players to take it to that next level and we're having to wait the patience thing with draft picks and all that, that's all well and good. But how long are we going to wait? And where is the accountability of this all? That's my thoughts. So appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah. I think what's at the center of this is Larkin and Steve Iserman are kind of, behind the scenes, they had a conversation. It's probably not that different than the conversations fans are having with themselves about this, right? Because Larkin is, I think, a little shell-shocked. You mentioned like deer in the headlights look, a lot of losing. It takes his toll. You do worry about the health of the organization when you keep losing. And it's a cry for help is what it is. And you can think less of Larkin as a person, player. It was a cry for help. Whether he was speaking just for himself, a couple guys, or the entire locker room, it's a cry for help. He needs to play better. Your stars need to drive your team. Iserman is also right. But there needs to be more from both of these men for this team to get to the next level as a hockey team. And I he mentions the St. Louis thing. I think a ticket texter puts this so beautifully. Iserman seemed annoyed and insecure. I don't know why he brought up Montreal and St. Louis. It's just him saying, it says that all it proves is that they're better than you and they didn't need to make a move. Bottom line, two teams since 2017 haven't made the playoffs. It's the Wings and the Sabres, Tony and Macomb. I mean, him bringing it up was him trying to justify
not making a move.
Yeah, but it's him being defiant and defensive. Like, hey, before we get into this press conference, I have a 4-minute prepared statement about how I never said we were making the playoffs. I only said we'd compete, and we did. It's the players' fault that we fell short. Other teams didn't add, and they made it. So I'm trying to take as much heat off of me before we even get into this press conference. Was that not the opening statement?
I understand how you could take it that way, yes. And there's not many other ways that you could take it. I do think he admitted some shortcomings.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of it. So it wasn't like it was only the players. And I like the fact that, because what did we talk about in March? Where were the star players? Where were the offense coming from? Where was the 5-on-5? Where was the defense? And we talk about the goalies, but the best part, you know, or the best way to help a goalie is to have some defense. Well, and there were so many shortcomings throughout the course of the season, but it was highlighted in March and early April.
So, you know, we all want to see like what changes the organization will make this summer. They did announce that they're switching their goalie coach and their video guy.
Right.
They don't make the playoffs next year. Which concession worker is going to get let go? You know what I mean? Like higher level stuff is, I think, what I'm asking for. And I think fans are asking for at this point.
Yes.
I deserve that one.
Yes.
Really, I thought I'd get a few more at this point. 20 minutes into a Red Wing conversation.
Oh, you're doing so well.
Thank you. Ticket Sector says, how would you like to be a player after Iserman's comments? What kind of leader blames his players?
Well, I didn't see it as a player. From somebody that's been in a locker room, I took that as I better step up or they're going to make some changes. You've got to have an introspective look when the season is over. Yes, there are a lot of things that go on as to why a team didn't reach its goal. And for right now, that goal is making the playoffs. You have to look inside and say, what could I have done? And I think Steve Yzerman does that. I don't think he sits there and says, oh, well, it's everybody else and not me.
No, and I'll tell you this story. It's buddy in Tampa texted me. Yzerman used to be down in Tampa, and this guy covers the Lightning. And he texted me out of the blue last Friday, and he said, hey, you might find this interesting. Steve Yzerman's at, I don't know if it was Friday night, whatever the night, game two of the Tampa-Florida Panthers game. He goes, Steve Yzerman's at this hockey game with a press credential. And normally when he comes back to town, he's chummy and he's chatting people up. He is feverishly writing notes all by himself, locked in, dialed in. Look, if he's going to channel the defiance into, I'm going to work twice as hard, I'm going to leave no stone unturned, I'm doing everything I can, that's the stuff I want to know.
Right.
And we're not always going to know that stuff, but it was just an interesting little look into, maybe he always, you know, scribbles notes feverishly, but he didn't come out in the intermission and chat people up. He was like man on a mission at this playoff game, probably scouting potential free agents. You know, you have pro scouts, but if Steve's going, you know what, they're learning on the job, I need to pick up more slack, I'm going to work twice as hard, that's the stuff I need the defiance to turn into, is,
well,
I'm going to double down on myself and my process, and I'm going to give you the results this city deserves.
And he should, because, yeah, we can talk about the pro scouting, we could talk about the, you know, amateur or college scouting, whatever. All arrows point to Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
This is his front office. This is, everything is, those were hired by Steve Yzerman. They stay in place or they're removed by Steve Yzerman. But all arrows point to Steve Yzerman. So if he's going to be the guy that's going to take all of the bullets, then you better be boots on the ground.
Yeah, and I don't think he minds taking the bullets. And I don't mind him fighting back to a degree yesterday. Because I side with him on the Larkin thing. I do. To me, the captain of the team shouldn't be saying what he said after the season about needing help and a cry for help. That sounds weak to me.
It is weak, but he's been put in a weak position by his organization.
To a degree, but I also know that I just don't think that's a move by a leader. I don't. And what we have here, the big picture, what we have here right now is the alleged best player on the team, the captain of the team, is sparring back and forth with the general manager and even the head coach to a degree. McClellan called out Larkin 3 to 4 games after the Four Nations.
He didn't respond.
Right, and he didn't. And maybe that I speculated, you guys, when we're talking off the air, maybe the team was, with McClellan and Yzerman, like, well, you should have done more. We saw what you did at the Four Nations, and where's that here?
Yeah.
Well, is that because he's with all these other good players? See, it just comes to the point where it's what everybody points out a lot of times. He's a second-line center. That's how he performed. I mean, it's just the truth. And Yzerman's asking them, they paid him top-line money, and he didn't give them that. I mean, these are all facts.
I'm not mad at Yzerman barking back at him. I have no issue with the healthy, and that's why I stress it needs to be healthy. They had their private conversation that Yzerman did not want to divulge. I hope that they didn't skirt around anything. I hope they were bearing their souls in that conversation. I hope Larkin told him how he really feels about the roster and didn't couch any of the statements. And I hope Yzerman told him in no uncertain terms how it's going to be. And they need to get on the same page.
Well, that would be the healthiest outcome.
Yeah, there are certain things as a player that you need to be, as a captain, that you need to be able to have and say to your general manager other things that are a little bit off limits. So I'm hoping that they respect each other's professionalism and limits, but there are certainly things that need to be said from the team. That's part of wearing that C. And no one should understand that more than Steve Yzerman.
Makes all the sense in the world. We've got open lines. We'll get Heather's news in the mix coming up in the next couple minutes here. We still have time if you want to weigh in, though. How you feel after listening to some of Steve Yzerman, if you watched that press conference live, we carried 20-plus minutes of it live on the station yesterday. I took it as a defiant tone, as a guy who is defensive of the job he's done and believes if they just keep doing it this way, it will work. If that inspired you, great. If you're left wanting more, you can fill in that blank on the phones. 248-539-9797.
Straight to the people. Get a football today. Bottom of the hour. Paul is in Frazier. He's next. 97.1. Paulie, what's going on, buddy?
My old friends. How
My
are
man.
You?
My man. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not too much. You know, this current question is very intriguing to me. And unlike the last caller, even though Stevie has made some very questionable decisions, real briefly, I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall with that Larkin-Yzerman conversation. I'm sure that was entertaining. But
I'm sure it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah, Dylan, you do that again, guess where you're going. Anyway, I got to go with, even though he's got a track record of winning and he's done amazing, I love Holmes. I love Campbell. I love everything they've done. Who couldn't? Okay. But the way that he, goes on these diatribes and his explanations and his, it's almost like a wrestler in the WWE standing in the ring with the microphone, talking to the bad guy wrestler going, yeah, well, let me tell you something. It's like, Jimmy did a great job this morning. He really did. I heard that.
Yep.
And I loved it. And I walked away from that going, Brad, nobody belongs to a book club. What is this all about? I mean, we're simply asking a question about, that other side over there might need maybe not an Aiden, but a guy, and he's doubling down everywhere else. So my vote has to go to Holmes. Stevie, he should be on a short lease, but you guys are right. He's here as long as he lives.
Yeah.
I hope it works. I do. I'm a
We all hope it works. That's what Paul, I want to segue into something here, and I appreciate it, man. The idea that, and this is where I think executives in sports fail. It's where coaches fail. First of all, they act like what they're doing is highly important. Nothing in sports is highly important. Sports is not real. What we do is not important. Our job's to entertain you if you're in your car, or if you want to laugh or scream or call or talk. This is not cardiology. We're not curing cancer. I'm not fixing gun violence. I'm not brokering peace in the Middle East. None of it's real. These guys act like they're curing cancer. And they create these narratives where somehow, you don't want us to win. Everyone wants to win. We want parades. No one wants Yzerman to fail. I do not want Brad Holmes to fail. It's okay. You said this earlier. We've arrived at a point where if you disagree with someone, automatically you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. I've said how many times? Brad Holmes done a wonderful job. Doesn't mean it's perfect. And he's got a weird thing where if you're Brad Holmes, why do you even know what the fans are saying? Why do you even know? And then he goes into this other deal about, well, I wonder if other media markets it's like this. Like what?
Because he reads and watches everything.
Then that's his mistake.
Or he has his minions come in and say, Brad, here's the hot sheet for today.
Even bigger mistake.
Here's what they're saying about you.
So many mistakes. Like these are all mistakes.
Ice Cube, here's what they think about you.
Right. No. But this idea, look, if you're a fan and you go, look, Marcus Davenport on aggregate is going to start 5 games a year. It's not good enough.
I really would like a trade, a free agent, or a draft pick of some value to just shore up that spot opposite Aiden. If I take 100% of Lions fans, 25% of them are screaming and yelling about wanting a superstar. 50% are right in the middle going, I'll just take a little bit of help. Yeah. And then you got the 25% of the bathwater drinkers where if Brad drafted Nancy Reagan, who's dead, they'd say it was a value pick. So like,
have you seen her hip turn?
Right. So the vast majority of fans is like, where's the help? That's not some crazy opinion. And for him to go on the air and go, I don't understand why I'm being asked about it. Huh? No, actually, it's okay to talk about it. And then he goes, well, you're just upset we have Aiden and you want another one. All I know is for about 10 minutes we talked about if Myles Garrett demanded a trade out of Cleveland, pick up the phone. Oh, my bad. First ballot Hall of Famer. You're right, I shouldn't pick up the phone.
Right, it was my bad.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Max Crosby thing, like, well, looks like he wants out of the Raiders.
Give it a try.
Right.
But then the reality was, okay, are we going to do anything in free agency? Nope. All right, no problem. Let Brad Cook, great drafter.
And this was a draft filled with edge rushers. So I'm thinking
they didn't like any. And how dare you?
But they did like a receiver.
And again, he has the right to do those things. Tesla may be a great play. Look, he's a kid who profiles athletically. They had Talen Green is vomit stuffed into a helmet. That was Arkansas's quarterback, Boise State transfer. Talen Green's idea of progressions is immediate rollout, no reads, YOLO balls. Mm-hmm. Arkansas doesn't throw it a ton. This kid may be awesome if he had real QB play. Here's the point. He's not going to get more targets than Amon-Ra. He's not going to get more targets than J-Mo.
Who are you sitting down?
He's not going to get more targets than Laporta. He's not going to get more targets than Gibbs. He's probably not going to get more targets than Patrick. And I'm in a Super Bowl window. And fans have a right to go, wait, we paid how many picks to take him?
Right. In certain sports, like in the NBA, I'm always, you're only as good as who you can defend. Who are you sitting down? Who is he going to sit down? Who is he going to say, I'm taking your spot?
And it's where he's building for the long term.
But if I have to hear, well, you know, he drafted Amon-Ra and he was Cooper Kupp.
Well, I'm trying to be fair to the man.
Right. And I'll say, hey, what about the love affair you had with Trinity Benson?
Oops. Okay. I'll just go to Drew in Roseville. Rico's been very upset today. Let's go to Drew 97.1. What's up, Drew?
What's up, fellas?
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm listening to you guys talk to these callers. And I got to be honest with you. And don't take this the wrong way. I'm not happy with the way Eisenman is running his team. But as far as the city goes and the franchise he's running goes, he's delivered 3 cups for that team. So, of course, he's going to be a little arrogant, a little feeling through himself. But Brad Holmes is really bugging me right now. He acts like, hey, I got you 2 victories in the playoffs, more than you've had in 50 years. You guys should be satisfied. I gave you a 17-point lead in the NFC Championship game. You should be satisfied. I got you a 15-2 record, even though we didn't win a playoff game. You should be satisfied. I am upset with the fact that you guys have pointed out, I didn't really realize how many picks we gave up to get a wide receiver. Because, you know, we're watching the draft, and my brother calls me up and says, hey, they just moved up. They're probably going to get that edge rusher that's available right now. We sat down, we watched the wide receiver. We both looked at each other like we just ate a crab sandwich. Like, what the heck is going on here? You came within one step of the Super Bowl. Then you shot yourself in the foot last year. You're one or two players away from getting to that next level. And he acts like, hey, we're going to build for 26 and 27 and 28. What are we doing here?
Oh, I think that's part of the conversation. Drew, you're not wrong, but how long have I been telling you they're more interested in being good for a long time and being popular and having a waiting list for the season tickets than I think they are about going all in and giving it their best shot? There's a risk reward. They so far have not been willing to take the risk. They've built a very good football team, but he's roster building. You can see it. Did they really need to take 2 guards? And again, I have no problem with Miles Frazier or Tate Ratledge. Those are SEC guards. Those are guys that have played in big-time games. Plus, Ratledge has an elite mullet. The point is, did you need to take 2 of those when you already have Mahogany and Glasgow or Mahogany and
well, see, I was okay because the LSU guard came later.
But I'm making a point. After you've taken the wideout, after you already took a guard, after you already took the D-tackle, they have no – there's. It's not a refusal. It's just they're looking for something that clearly doesn't exist because they just rifled through. They didn't take a D end until the 6th round. Mm-hmm. They did nothing in free agency at the defensive end spot. Nothing. And they didn't make a trade. So whatever they're looking for, it's almost like a unicorn that farts sprinkles. I don't know what they're looking for.
I don't either. But the question is, well, actually, don't question him. He doesn't want to hear it because he doesn't understand it'll all work out. Aiden's an elite. And in other markets, if you have an elite edge rusher, they don't ask these types of things. You know what they do, Brad? They actually go out and draft more.
Book club. David, tech ticket text. And then we'll get to a little football today.
See spot run.
Okay. Yes, Steve.
The issue, again, people fail to even accept the fact that there were 5 defensive ends injured by the end of the year. Brad is right. The outside rage doesn't make sense.
No, hold on. Hold on. There's no rage, first of all, so you're gaslighting. Second of all, 2023,
Aiden led the team at 11.5 sacks. Your next sack leader from a defensive end spot, 2.5. Last year, Aiden leads the team after 4 weeks. So 16 more weeks of the season, 15 more weeks of the season, Aiden is still the sack leader. You come on now. This has been a multi-year problem. The chair drop was 2 years ago. Come on now. It's okay to talk about that. It is.
Someone says Iserman is more arrogant because what has he won?
Yeah, for him to be acting this way, having not made the playoffs, at least Brad can be like, hey, playoffs and things, 15-2, home playoff games, season ticket waiting list, a superstar head coach. You're right. He's got a level he can act at. Iserman, whoa, buddy. I thought his presser today was not a disaster. That's hyperbolic. But it was just kind of, we looked at each other and went, can we just dump out of this? This is awful.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Five o'clock. Great to have you. We've covered a lot of ground today. Odyssey.com rewind. You missed anything. I do encourage you to check out the interview Jim and John had with Brad Holmes. And that's going to be kind of one of the parts of our 5 o'clock topic. And I want to invite everyone in on this. And I know it's probably a little bit of overload. Iserman spoke it too. We carried it. I'll give you the cliff notes. I can't play endless amounts of audio and then have time to talk to you guys. That's just not a good listen. But Iserman said, oh, no, our focus is drafting, and we're going to build this thing through the draft. He was asked about the Wallman trade. Would you like to add some context or clarity? No and no. He was asked about the hot seat, respectfully, and then everything he followed saying was disrespectful. I don't care what any of you think. Basically came off as someone who has no boss and a lifetime deal and nothing's changing. That's what it sounded like.
Sounds accurate.
Then you get Brad Holmes. He was asked by Jim, look, do you understand at least why fans continue to want an edge rusher? Do you understand why you're asked about it? Jim wasn't even allowed to finish the question, and Holmes went, no, I don't understand it. He then goes on to say one of the most disingenuous things I think you could ever say. Lions fans are mad that they have Aiden Hutchinson because they don't have a second Aiden Hutchinson. That's insane. I don't think anyone feels that way. And I think when you're a Super Bowl caliber team and great players demand trades, right? Like a Trey Hendrickson or a Myles Garrett, no one's wrong for saying, pick up the phone, let's give it a rip. And when it doesn't happen, you go, no problem. I don't fault the organization. And then we go to, all right, well, what else did you do in free agency? All right, no problem. Brad's an awesome drafter. We're going to be just fine. All right, first round was a D tackle. Excellent. I don't mind it. He's a really good football player. Yeah. That's okay, right? All right, well, then we're going to go and we're going to trade how many picks to move up and take a receiver in the third? Not an edge? Nowhere? Sixth round? So that's been the conversation today. And I want to do this a different way, Rico. To the fans, and to Rico and Kenny, David, and of course you guys in listener land, which of these two is more arrogant? Between Iserman and Holmes, which of these two is higher on their own supply? Which of these two's public remarks irk you more? And I understand this is a little difficult because you might be a Wings fan and not a Lions fan, or you might be casual about one and you're a hardcore fan of the other, but on surface today, the one thing we heard was two GMs who actively think they're curing cancer. And neither of them's changing. Now, one of them clearly has done a much better job than the other. Brad Holmes has done a much better job. But neither's won anything. And neither's changing. And any question about their moves is met with dismissal. So which of the two do you believe is more arrogant? Which one rubs you the wrong way more?
I would say Brad Holmes comes across more arrogant because Iserman, there's arrogance there. But when asked questions, he will simply just say no and that's it. Whereas Holmes has to go and explain why he's smarter than you,
Why, you have no idea what he does on a day-to-day thing. Why, you are not in the same category as him. Whereas Eisenman will just say, I don't want to talk about it. Well, please? No.
Do you want to hear the Rieger thing?
Yeah.
Do you think that would help the argument?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Here, play the Rieger question about Walman, which, fair in fairness, it's one of the worst trades in the NHL in recent years. Rieger did not go troll mode. I don't think this was gotcha. And Eiserman just wasn't having it.
Okay.
Okay, good talk. I feel stupid, and I'm very sorry, David. 248-539-9797. Listen, David. Oh, my God, he's not listening.
I'm listening.
Let it roll. We got calls coming in. Prioritize the people. To hell with the audio. We'll go over to Julie.
But I just think that Eiserman just kind of, you know, I don't want to talk about this. I got a plan. We're going to bring up the kids, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of one of those trust me, it'll work type of things. You may not agree with it, but it's not, hey, you don't know how much hockey I've watched and going down to the IHL and going overseas and my scout people. And look, I've traveled to Russia. Have you been to Russia? I've been here. I've gone here. Whereas Holmes kind of does that. I've watched 2 years of every snap.
Yeah,
I know you can't. No disrespect, but I know you can't do that. But normally when somebody says not trying to be disrespectful, the next thing out of their mouth, disrespect.
Correct. So which of these two rubbed you the wrong way today? And if it's neither, that's fine. The Holmes thing was weird. It was. Because I don't think Jim or John, and I know Jim can be smarmy. I didn't think there was any of that today. I thought Jim did nice job.
That was the softballest of all softball questions. Hey, you kind of understand. No.
Wow. Yeah, and again, Lions fan, when your GM says you're mad that you have Aiden and that you don't have another one, who he's describing, I don't know. I think the truth always lies in the middle. We were simply looking for more than Marcus Davenport, whatever that is. Whether it be by draft, by trade, or by free agency. Yeah. And he's not offering that to you. So you tell me what you want to do with it. We'll go to Julian to kick off the 5 o'clock. Jules, what's going on, buddy?
Gentlemen, bottom of the afternoon to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, hey, sir. Man. What do you got?
So, Mike, for me, it's an easy answer. It is Steve Eiserman by a mile, and I'm going to dive into why. But so I don't forget, I have a CQ that I want to also get to. It's a two-part CQ for you, Rico and Kenny. So let me talk about Eiserman first. Unlike Brad Holmes, who has delivered to Lions fans something that no other modern-day GM has delivered, which is multiple playoff wins, an incredible team last year that, yes, fell short, right? An appearance one or two quarters away from a Super Bowl. Steve Eiserman has delivered absolutely nothing. We've covered it extensively. He's been an abject failure. But for his attitude, and I get bothered when any coach or GM who objectively speaking has had zero success, which Eiserman as GM has had, objectively speaking, zero success, for them to turn on the smarm and the attitude of how dare you ask me these questions. I feel that it's an insult to the fans who have every right to be upset. The media, after all, is trying to voice fandom concerns. So for me, Brad Holmes, yes, the whole joke about his receipts, but he has the right to have receipts. He's delivered a product on the field that have made grown men cry, and rightfully so. Who the hell is Steve Eiserman, right? You know, he's no longer the Tampa Bay GM, so he can't claim that. He had, you know, he's not the GM of Team Canada, multiple gold medals. You're the GM of the Red Wings. What have you done? Who are you to be smarmy to anybody? So for me, that's why I really have a difficult time when anybody.
Yeah, today was tough.
Especially.
Today was a tough tone by him. And look, I Rieger can be acerbic, but that's not the way he asked it. We have the audio now. Jules, I'll play this, and then we'll get to your critical question. Go ahead. This is Rieger asking about Walman. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the worst part is, you know, Rieger, you know, Reno Rieger, right? He's a character at times. He's the king of trolls. On a scale of one, you know, Rieger to 10, that's like a 1.
Correct.
Like, that's a very valid you know, very well-framed question. Hey, we were interested to know about this trade. And the SMARM level, again, you know, I offer this and I'll get to my CQ. We're at the point now where my advice to Red Wings fans is, okay, be upset with Steve Yzerman for sure. Be more upset with Ilitch, because I think it's very reasonable to suspect, based on how Ilitch is as an owner, that he's given Steve Yzerman a lifetime leash.
Yes.
And for 6 years now, there's no reason to think that, hey, next year this ship is going to be turned around.
Agreed.
So I would direct Red Wings fans, be more mad at Ilitch than Yzerman.
What is the CQ quickly, and we'll try to get to it.
The CQ, I want to hear your picks, Rico and Kenny's, game five tonight, Leafs Sens, who you got in the game, who you got in the series. I gotta hear it.
The Leafs. You're gonna be fine. I know you have PTSD. Jules, just breathe. You're gonna be okay. Leafs. Or do we root for radio? Leafs tank, Marner launched out of a cannon, and he lands on Belle Isle.
Even now we're hoping Yzerman actually makes the move. So.
Yeah, okay, all we're gonna do is get frustrated. Kids.
Although I will say every game in that series feels like it's an overtime game. The Battle of Ontario. When do the Wings play?
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.